listeners, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Joel Rollins, and this is The Week on Rave Radio. It's been another busy week in AV, and we have a lot of news to cover today, both from the world of AV and events, and from the broader world of general electronics, where there has been some truly interesting movement among some of the giants, most particularly Verizon buying itself back, and even more interestingly, the Microsoft Nokia news. In fact, it was so interesting that when I first heard about it, I called Gary, who was on his cell phone setting up for a presentation in Dallas, and I'm going to share some of that call with you later on in the show. Both of us are fairly opinionated. Please bear in mind that on this show, we're going to pull no punches. This is strictly opinion. It's strictly ours. Take it for what it's worth. Anyway, we'll be doing all that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let me remind you that The Week is brought to you by Hypersign, who make a truly innovative product line for digital signage. You can find out more about their unique signage solution at www.hypersign.com. And that The Week is also brought to you by Atlas Sound, who make a huge variety of audio product to fill the needs of our industry. And more about them can be found at www.atlassound.com. Also, long as you're here on Rave Radio, take a listen to our other podcasts, like the Green AV Podcast, the Wavecast from Women in AV, and Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves. You can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here, on The Week, we try to address the most important items we see in AV news for the week, and we bring you a range of guests for a conversation about subjects important to our industry. So, without further ado, let's talk about what's going on in the world of AV this week. Leading off the news this week is new education from Infocom, an all-new installation curriculum customized to integrators' on-the-job needs. The two new courses will be offered in Fairfax, Virginia, the week of October 21st, 2013. First of all, System Fabrication, October 21st to 23rd, will guide AV professionals through everything they need to know before they power up a rack. This hands-on, workshop-style course will cover cable termination, rack building, mounting, and the very latest on working with fiber optic connections. Then, Setup and Verification, which runs October 24th through 26th, covers the second half of an installation project. This course is for anyone whose on-the-job work involves how to set up and test a system after it is powered on, with new interactive simulations of projector setup, impedance testing, audio system gain and equalization, and hands-on network setup. Attendees will be able to adjust AV systems for optimal performance. You can sign up at www.infocom.org. Then, the International Broadcasting Convention will be held September 12th through 17th in the Rye Convention Center in Amsterdam, place I love. IBC 2013 will attract more than 50,000 creative, technical, and business professionals from over 160 countries. The convention offers rich opportunities for definitive research, stimulating education, and business development, and is the perfect forum to network and exchange ideas. To register, you can visit www.ibc.org. London will be the host to the AV Awards Gala on October 11th, 2013. The AV Awards and the annual recognition event are managed by the UK-based AV Magazine. Award categories include products, projects, events, individuals, and teams. Visit www.avaawards for the list of nominees and for tickets. Another interesting technical piece, the AVNU Alliance, the industry consortium that certifies audio-video bridging products, or AVB, for interoperability, has introduced three industry leaders from consumer and automotive markets as new promoter members: Seton, Freescale, and Rico. Seton is the worldwide leader in digital cable tuner solutions for the PC and manufacturer of in-home digital entertainment and communication solutions. Freescale is a global leader in embedded processing solutions for the automotive, consumer, industrial, and networking markets. And Rico, of course, is one of the leading providers of office equipment and a supplier of an embedded software platform with a new business line of unique sensors. The AVNU Alliance is dedicated to the advancement of streaming audio video by promoting the adoption of IEEE 802.1 Audio Video Bridging Standards, or AVB, over the network infrastructure. You can learn more at www.avnu.org. That's AVNU. Crestron announced that the Crestron RL, its group collaboration solution for the conference room, is now officially qualified by Microsoft as fully interoperable with Microsoft Link Server 2013. Crestron RL is a comprehensive solution that combines Crestron hardware with Microsoft Link, the popular software-based UC solution. Link enables video, voice, interactive content sharing, presence, and chat from a personal device such as a tablet or a laptop. Crestron RL brings Link from the desktop to the conference room. In addition, Crestron RL links to all systems in the room and gives users control of the entire room from the same touchscreen. For in-depth info about Crestron RL, you can visit www.crestron.com. This is certainly going to be an interesting area over the next couple of years. Collaboration has become everything, and the competing network standards are going to be one of our hottest pieces of news. You can certainly listen for them here on The Week. Home awareness and energy management brand Energy Corp will officially debut at CEDIA next month. Energy's home awareness system allows homeowners to control, customize, and automate all connected devices in the home. What's more, homeowners can receive important system notifications on their Android and iOS devices. They can manage connected devices at the energyhome.com portal. For more, check it out at CEDIA. And this is great. The detectives here at Rave have learned that next week Samsung will show a 98-inch 4K resolution commercial-grade LCD monitor aimed at both digital signage and Pro AV installs. In addition to being an ultra-high-definition display, the new 98-inch will include both DisplayPort and HDMI inputs and will be integrated with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and RS-232 control. It will have LED backlighting, and it will weigh 170 pounds, is the rumor. Stay tuned for definite specs. You can always check that out at www.ravepubs.com. As I mentioned earlier, there was also some news in the broader world of electronics, actually quite a lot of it. Yahoo's new logo, Samsung's launch of their smartwatch and phone combination, the upcoming Apple launch on Tuesday of iOS 7, and as I understand it, a wristwatch of their own. So there's a lot of news going on. I think in some cases, though, the two things that really caught my mind this week were Verizon's purchase back of itself from a parent company, which I think is going to have a lot of future news to announce on the making of broader bandwidth and larger quantity bandwidth available to mobile users in the United States. But most of all, I thought the most interesting thing was Microsoft's purchase of the Nokia handset division for $7 billion. I have a lot of opinions on Microsoft. They were my largest customer for many, many years in the staging realm, as they were for a lot of us. And I've been a Microsoft follower for a long time. But I think that of late, I've seen some real slippage in the Microsoft market dominance, as have all of us. And it interested me enough that I called Gary on his cell phone in Dallas to talk it over. And it was such an interesting conversation that I hit the record switch, and I'm going to share that with you in process now in place of our normal interview for the week. So without further ado, this is me and Gary after hearing about the Microsoft purchase of the Nokia handset division. So, hey, Gary, I was going over the news for the week. And really, two things in tech news stand out, and I kind of wanted to get your take on them. One was Microsoft's purchase of the Nokia handset division, which is and the other is Vodafone selling off Verizon, which I think is going to give us a big start towards some increased bandwidth in the future on wireless. But what do you think of the Microsoft deal? Where do you think Microsoft Phone is going?
Well, let's talk about Microsoft in general. I mean, Microsoft is a freight train. To get them to stop, they're not going to collapse overnight. They're a freight train that somebody's applied the brakes, and they're going to keep going for a long time because they have such a powerhouse of products that people are addicted to. It's almost like, you know, the crack of software. You know, once you start using Word and PowerPoint, you know, switching is so much pain. And they're available on the Macs, so even the people that have switched to the Apple platform or even other devices, tablets and such, still have access to it for the most part. So, you know, Microsoft's not going anywhere, but they sure are a company in disarray. And the purchase of Nokia, in my opinion, is sort of their way to say, hey, we're going to take a second shot at this phone thing. We realized that opening our software to anybody to integrate didn't work. So what we're going to do is do the Apple / Google thing and integrate our own hardware.
You know, what's really funny is I did Global Summit in 95. And at it, one of the biggest launches was what Microsoft called Pegasus, which was Windows CE. And they were showing it there on phones. And since then, their biggest thing, the biggest thing Steve Ballmer always says is, we're going to win this because of the number of partners we have working with Windows software. And this is kind of a total reversal in what Microsoft has said. I mean, they said their strength came from HTC and Nokia and Samsung and everybody else making Windows phones, and that's how we're going to dominate the phone market. Now they're going to go into competition with all those partners, is what it looks like.
No question, you're exactly right, Joel, is that they are going into competition. But, you know, they can't win otherwise because there's no loyalty. Think about where they went from. Back when everybody was integrating Windows and adopting Windows CE, for that matter, all the major players, Dell, Gateway, HP, IBM, all of them got on board and said 99% of our devices will carry your software. 1% will carry something else like Linux or whatever, with the exception of Apple. In this case, HTC does Android and does Windows, and Android has such a huge marketing muscle behind it. There's two factors. Number one, they have a huge marketing muscle behind it in Google, and everybody's familiar with Google and comfortable with Google. But also, Microsoft, quite frankly, was really late to the market. Apple innovated that market in a way, revolutionized it, I should say, took it out of the hands of the AT&Ts and Verizons of the world, and put it in the hands of the hardware manufacturers. And Apple just stood by and was a me too. And ironically, this is sort of a me too move, but at least probably in the right direction. I think a better purchase would have been to buy BlackBerry, because they've got a built-in user base, or maybe buy both of them. I mean, Nokia is huge in Europe, so obviously they're going to get something for that. But at the same time, they're only buying one portion of Nokia.
Well, I got to think back to, number one, I think back to when you and I were at Extron, and we were big Windows proponents. I mean, and both of us have turned around hard since then because we've discovered things. The funny thing is, if I look back at history, I mean, even back to when I was doing Microsoft Global Summits and those kind of meetings for Gates, Microsoft's never, outside the gaming industry, never really had a successful hardware product that I can remember. I mean,
no, you're exactly right. Their tablet was a disaster way back when. Their tablet is a disaster now. You're right.
You mean the iPad killer? The Surface?
Yeah. Well, it's killing the iPad from the standpoint of it being really cheap. It's just people don't even want it, even though it's really cheap. They're going to have to take a second shot at that as well. The funny thing is they've tried this with their tablet and it didn't work. And, no one's buying the Surface. The phone market obviously is bigger than the tablet market, but I think Microsoft is partnering with the wrong companies. They've got to partner with better companies. They've got to look forward rather than looking back. Instead of partnering with companies that were leaders, partner with companies that are leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. When I did Global Summit in 96, one of Steve Ballmer's, when they brought Steve out to take questions, which is always on the last day of the three-day summit, 10,000 employees in the arena, and one of the biggest things they asked him was, IBM's purchase of Lotus, and what's that going to do? And at the time, of course, Lotus was the dominant spreadsheet, but on its way down in favor of Excel already. And they went on and on about what IBM's positioning with OS2 and Lotus was going to be. And at the end of it, Ballmer just looks out at the crowd and said, guys, I don't see why you think this is a threat. They bought Lotus. Not a good. And I think that if you look back, Microsoft has always had those kind of, I was a Microsoft solution developer partner when I ran a Canadian company. And I always felt that the solution provider programs were very high-handed. It was Microsoft was going to tell everybody how to do things if you were going to be a partner. And I look now and I'm like, I don't think they have the driver's seat that they used to. I mean, I'm out in corporate America every day, and most of my clients are several issues of Windows back. I mean, Vista didn't seem to go anyplace in the corporate market. 7, a little bit, but not huge. 8 doesn't seem to be taken off. Most of my clients are running XP, which, I mean, you look
and
at
a lot of people.
7 years old?
A lot of people say that, you're right. And a lot of people say, well, Windows still is 90% of the market. Not really. When you can consider the fact that 43% approximately now, somewhere in the range of 43%, some say 45%, are on the internet through mobile devices. Well, that throws out Windows right there. That means that leaves 60% of the market for them. Except, you know, when you add in tablets and you add in other operating systems that are making games in other devices, like tablets and phones, as well as obviously Apple and their games and laptops and desktop computers. You know, Microsoft's market share is probably really in the 50% to 60% range at best, and going the wrong direction.
Yeah, going the wrong direction, as you pointed out, with the exception of Office, which seems to be their mainstay product all the time. But I don't see, you know, I mean, every time there's, you know, they try to do the commercial thing where, oh, yeah, we're going to have people lining up to get Windows 7 or Windows 8, and that never seemed to really happen. I mean, they might stage one here or there. But nobody's all that excited about it. And you know,
it's not innovative.
I deal with MIS managers every day, and I'm telling you, no one seems to be excited about Win8. And, you know, when I look back at what was on our blog when Surface was brought out, and, of course, this is the iPad killer, and it's so much. I went and bought an RT, and, I got into it for a couple of hours and basically couldn't decide what the excitement was about. And you
it's
know,
just another tablet.
And I think what they don't seem to get is that it isn't the device. It's the infrastructure behind the device that really makes a difference. I mean, I think iPhone are about the iTunes store and about the infrastructure that's behind them as opposed to the phone itself.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And, you know, quite honestly, Samsung has done a phenomenal job. They adopted, instead of reinventing the wheel and inventing their own operating system, they adopted a really successful quality operating system from Android. And they're making some inroads. And Microsoft is really the third or fourth player now, at best, by the way that most people look at them. And so you know, they're not in a very good position. And they really need new leadership. They need creative leadership. And they need you know, they need somebody who's got a vision that can take them to the next level. And quite honestly, I mean, I have to say, I'm a little nervous about Apple, too, because I don't know that they have the vision and leadership back that they had with Steve Jobs by any means. So I'm a little nervous about them. But, you know, they seem to be doing the right things. I mean, what they're doing with the watch coming out this week. I mean, what Samsung did with the watch announcement today. I mean, these companies are moving in the right direction. Microsoft is still fiddling with an operating system and still trying to convince everybody not to go to the cloud while everybody else is, you know, going to the cloud even if they don't know they're going to the cloud by using mobile devices.
They act like they're sitting on laurels that are no longer there, in my opinion. I mean, if you look at the drivers now, the drivers, I wouldn't list Microsoft in the top drivers for the information economy. I mean, I would list Samsung, I'd list Apple, I'd list Google for sure.
Absolutely. But, Facebook.
Yeah, oh sure. And the social media sites, well, you and I differ on social media. My version would be called anti-social media probably. Only because I don't like short messages. But they are driving. I mean, that's the new communications format. And it seems like, you know, at one point in time when you and I were working together, you know, at Extron and afterwards, Microsoft drove that market. When they made an announcement, it was serious and everybody went along. And now it seems to be kind of ho-hum. And, you know, I wonder if that's not behind Steve Ballmer's announced retirement. I mean,
I think he's burned out. He's not an innovator. He was great at taking that company and maintaining what they had.
Yes.
And keeping them from losing significant market share. But they really need, they really need to hire somebody like, they need to pull Yahoo. And Yahoo pulling Marissa Mayer away from that company, away from Google, was genius. I mean, Yahoo passed Google last month in search traffic, and that's a huge milestone. And they did it by pulling away Marissa Mayer away from Google and putting her in charge of Yahoo and making that bold move. They need to do something like that. And she's in her 30s. They need someone young. You know, as much as I hate to admit it, and I'm sure you hate to admit it, we're too old. Somebody young who's really with it. By the way, to speak on the Verizon thing, because I'm getting ready to do a presentation here in Dallas and I've got to get going here in a minute. But to speak on the Verizon thing, I think that's a great move for Verizon because it frees them up to really focus on where their core expertise is, which is the North American market. And I think that it puts them in a really good position.
Yeah, quite honestly, it also frees them up a lot. I'm looking down the road and saying that they're going to have to, like with phone calls, where phone calls eventually dropped a distance limitation for price when we went voice over IP. Fairly shortly, we're going to have to drop data limits on mobile devices, because mobile devices are going to be where it all happens.
Yep, I've got to run, okay?
Okay, great. Talk to you soon, Gary.
Well, what you've just heard is a pretty typical call between Gary and I, and one of us is always running off someplace suddenly to make a presentation. That's all we had time for. So don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. And thanks once again to our sponsors, Hypersign and Atlas Sound, for helping us bring you this show. Check out some great stuff at www.hypersign.com and www.atlassound.com. And thanks for listening to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, wishing you a great week ahead.